Breaking news tonight. President Trump has invited Vladimir Putin to Washington. And NBC News breaks the news to America's intelligence chief on live television.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
That's going to be special.
Dan Coats appearing to be caught off guard. And what about the president siding with Putin over him?
Obviously, I wished he had made a different statement.
Plus, my exclusive sit-down with the FBI director on the Russia threat, the Mueller investigation, and this.
There have also been stories that you threatened to resign.
His revealing answer. More breaking news, reports of catastrophic damage, buildings ripped apart after a major outbreak of tornadoes. The big bank refunding tens of millions of dollars to customers. Are you about to get money back? A massive explosion rocks New York City, raining debris and raising alarms over what lies beneath cities and towns nationwide. Parents behaving badly, caught on camera, and the man on a mission to shame them. And here's the story. An iconic American home is up for grabs.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from Los Angeles tonight to our viewers here in the West. Still refining the mixed messaging from their last meeting in Helsinki, the White House late today announced it was inviting Vladimir Putin to another meeting with President Trump, this time at the White House. Whether it's a do-over or an extension of their last meeting is unclear, but it was certainly a surprise to the nation's top intelligence official, who learned it along with an audience from our own Andrea Mitchell during an interview at an event in Colorado.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter that Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
Vladimir Putin coming
to the... Did I hear you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, one of several top officials NBC News questioned exclusively, appearing at the Aspen Security Forum, where the Helsinki summit is very much top of mind. FBI Director Christopher Wray, also among those making it clear nothing said at the summit changes their bottom line about Russian election meddling. Tonight, two of President Trump's top law enforcement and intel officials with remarkable pushback. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats on the president standing with Vladimir Putin, dismissing intel agency conclusions on Russian meddling.
Obviously, I wished he had made a different statement, but I think that now that has been clarified.
And about that one-on-one meeting between the president and Putin.
If he had asked me how that ought to be conducted, I would have suggested a different way. But that's not my role. That's not my job. So it is what it is.
Is there a risk that Vladimir Putin could have recorded it?
That risk is always there.
And hours after, President Trump seemed to deny Russia was still trying to meddle in U.S. elections.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S. President?
Press,
let's go.
Time.
Make your way out. No, you don't believe that to be the case?
FBI Director Chris Wray telling me
the intelligence community's assessment has not changed. My view has not changed, which is that Russia attempted to interfere with the last election and that it continues to engage in malign influence operations to this day.
Aimed at our political system?
Aimed at sowing discord and divisiveness in this country.
I asked Wray if he had ever considered quitting.
There have also been stories that you threatened to resign.
I'm a low-key, understated guy, but that should not be mistaken for what my spine is made out of.
So you have...
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And Wray weighing in on the idea of a Russian offer to allow U.S. prosecutors to travel to Moscow to watch questioning of Russian agents under U.S. indictment.
Would you ever envision a world in which you would allow suspects to be interviewed by Russia and observe?
Well, I never want to say never about anything, but it's certainly not high on our list of investigative techniques.
There has also been the suggestion from Putin that he would want to come have interview Americans. Is that something that you would support?
That's probably even lower on our list of investigative techniques.
And now, with those revelations of anti-Trump texts from top agent Peter Strzok, which the inspector general said cast a cloud over the FBI, the president intensifying his attack on the Russia investigation.
That was a total witch hunt.
Is there anything that would allow it to be called a witch hunt?
I've been consistent. I get asked this a lot. I do not believe Special Counsel Mueller is on a witch hunt. I think it's a professional investigation conducted by a man that I've known to be a straight shooter in all my interactions with him.
Let's bring in the aforementioned Andrea Mitchell. Andrea, that was an extraordinary interview you conducted with the intelligence chief. What do you make of what we've been witnessing here the last 24 hours?
It's just amazing, Lester. My big takeaway after a remarkable 24 hours is that it is very rare for two top officials in law enforcement and intelligence to stand up to the President of the United States. Both Chris Wray and Dan Coats are putting their jobs on the line, frankly, making it clear they will not compromise national security or let intelligence be politicized, despite criticism from the Oval Office and from partisans in Congress. It's clear they both feel an obligation to the men and women in their agencies, often putting their lives on the line around the world. They also agree that Russia is a danger. As Coates told me today, they are the ones, Russia, who are trying to undermine our basic values. They are the ones trying to wreak havoc with our elections. And he said it is critical we call them out on that and make sure they cannot do it again with the midterm elections coming up. Lester.
All right, Andrea Mitchell in Aspen, thank you. Now to the immediate fallout from President Trump's planned invitation to Putin and another about-face from the president today, a day after the White House said he was considering Putin's proposal to have Russia question Americans. We get all of it from our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson.
Brushing off backlash to his one-on-one, plans now for part two between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
Were you aware of that? Just want to clarify. Because
I think based on my reaction, I wasn't aware of that.
The news surprising even the president's own director of national intelligence on stage in Aspen.
Would you recommend that there not be a one-on-one without note takers?
If I were asked that question, I would look for a different way of doing it.
It would be Putin's first visit to the U.S. since 2015 and the first since his country interfered in the 2016 election. President Trump now on defense after a third straight day of muddled messaging over his posture toward Putin.
Look at the sanctions I've put on. Look at the diplomats I threw out. Look at all of the things that I've done. Nobody else did what I've done. Obama didn't do it. Obama was a patsy for Russia. Getting along with President Putin, getting along with Russia is a positive, not a negative. Right. Now, with that being said, if that doesn't work out, I'll be the worst enemy he's ever had.
Now, after a week's worth of cleanups, another one tonight, after the Art of the Deal president didn't reject one from Russia fast enough. The deal would have let the special counsel question 12 recently indicted Russian intelligence officials if, and only if, Russia could then interrogate 11 Americans Putin has problems with. That includes the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, an NBC News international affairs analyst.
What is your message today, right now, to Donald Trump?
The president of the United States needs to come out and categorically denounce it.
The White House today is not denouncing Putin, but is insisting the president won't play ball on this. Quote, it is a proposal that was made in sincerity by President Putin, but President Trump disagrees with it.
The president at the White House today focused mostly on the economy, but even that made waves. In that new CNBC interview, he publicly disagreed with how the Fed chair raised rates, even though presidents typically stay out of those independent decisions. It's another unorthodox move, Lester, for a president who's made plenty.
All right, Hallie Jackson at the White House, thank you. And more breaking news, a major outbreak of tornadoes, the severe weather threat stretching from Iowa to Arkansas with Kansas City, St. Louis, and Little Rock among the cities in the risk area covering some 13 million people. And there are reports coming in now of catastrophic damage after a tornado touchdown in Marshalltown, Iowa, near Des Moines. We get the latest from NBC's Jolene Kent.
All right, we're oh my God!
Tonight, tornadoes ripping through Iowa, leaving catastrophic damage in their wake.
The high school just got taken apart.
In Marshalltown, 50 miles northeast of Des Moines, a state of emergency declared.
We got a tornado touchdown.
Twisters flattening buildings, causing water mains to burst into the sky. Nearby, a flag collapsing in the winds.
Is it coming this way?
Structures demolished as residents race to escape.
I'm trying to outrun it. Oh my goodness.
Other cars didn't fare as well, piled up in a parking lot as power lines fell. With the area under tornado warnings, police going door to door, checking on residents.
So that's my parents' house down there. And this thing just ripped through this street. Oh my God.
The National Weather Service also reporting vehicles missing, gas and power lines down. The severe weather continues throughout the Midwest tonight. 13 million people from Iowa to Arkansas under threat. Jolene Kent, NBC News.
Big news tonight about one of the nation's biggest banks. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Wells Fargo is refunding tens of millions of dollars to customers because of services added to their accounts, like pet insurance and ID theft protection. In some cases, Wells Fargo customers were aware they signed up, but were not clearly informed they would be charged once the free trial period ended. Wells Fargo tells NBC News it is no longer selling these products, and if issues are found with past services, it will make things right with customers. Now to the massive explosion that rocked New York City, sending debris raining down, people running for their lives, and tonight as the air is clearing, it's raising alarms about the old pipes lying beneath the surface of not just New York, but cities and towns all across the country. Here's NBC's Rahima Ellis.
Just after sunrise, a billowing cloud of steam exploded out of the ground right at the start of the morning commute. The blast created a shower of debris and grime.
It felt like an earthquake or something like that.
Left behind, a hole the size of a city bus in the middle of Fifth Avenue, one of the busiest streets in Midtown Manhattan. What did you see and hear?
All right, I heard a boom and I saw people running.
Officials say the steam erupted from an 86-year-old pipe, one of the thousands of aging pipes that snake beneath the city, providing heating and cooling to 2,000 buildings.
There was asbestos in the steam-lined casing. That's obviously a real concern to us.
The mayor says the air quality is safe, but officials set up decontamination centers, advising people caught in the explosion to shower immediately and bag their clothes for tests. The blast comes almost 11 years ago to the day when another steam pipe explosion near Grand Central Terminal killed one person. Tonight, officials are relieved this latest blast resulted in only minor injuries. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
Wildfires are raging across the West tonight, including a deadly inferno rapidly spreading in Oregon that has forced a number of evacuations. This as another huge fire threatens one of America's greatest natural wonders. And hot, dry weather is only making conditions more dangerous. NBC's Steve Patterson with the latest.
Tonight, state of emergency in Oregon. Firefighters scrambling to save homes in the crosshairs of the ravenous substation fire. Since Tuesday, the fire exploded to more than 50,000 acres.
It's burning in wheat fields, and it burns really fast, really hot.
Residents across two counties rushing to get out. Wednesday, crews discovered the body of a 64-year-old tractor operator. Officials believe he was trying to save homes by establishing a fire line. So far, there have been 588 fires in Oregon alone this year, bolstered by a nearly rainless spring. Now in the forecast, lightning, poised to spark new fires across the West. Thunderstorms are threatening to swell the fatal Ferguson fire, dangerously close to Yosemite National Park. The flames now spread across more than 20,000 acres, churning through withered forests.
A lot of these are standing dead trees, which pose a significant risk to all firefighters.
Perfect conditions for a deadly fire season, threatening destruction at an alarming rate. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
Still ahead, caught on camera, parents behaving badly, the referee blowing the whistle on social media about moms and dads for unsportsmanlike conduct at their children's games. Also, classic sitcom fans, now you have a chance to own an iconic piece of TV history. Back now with a problem growing across the country. Parents getting so violent on the sidelines of their kids' sports games, more referees are quitting than ever before. But now one ref is fighting back with a controversial social media campaign to shame parents into behaving. Here's NBC's Gotti Schwartz.
From softball stands to soccer sidelines, raging parents.
You are horrible. Go home.
Lashing out and caught on camera like here. A mother so angry she kicks a ball straight at the teen ref before storming off. Or a father attacking this official at a basketball game.
Oh my God.
Hey, how are you?
One ref in Oklahoma is so fed up, he's now offering a $100 bounty for videos that expose parents when they cross the line and posting them to the Facebook page Offside.
It happens every single day in every single state, in every single youth sport there is. And that's a shame because we're taking away the innocence of the meaning and the purpose of youth sports.
And the National Association of Sports Officials reports that over 70% of all new refs quit within the first 3 years.
You gotta hold people accountable. That's all it is. It's holding adults accountable. When people see themselves, they change their own dynamics.
Brian Barlow says so far in his community, his campaign seems to be working.
Folks, I apologize for the word I used.
I have another woman that was in a video who promised to never ever, and she updates me probably every 3 or 4 months, I haven't yelled at a referee in 10 games. You'll be so proud.
A new way to teach sportsmanship to parents behaving badly. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News, New York.
Coming up, banned from the menu, the new move by one major American city to fight childhood obesity. A major American city is trying something new to combat childhood obesity. Baltimore, now the largest city in the U.S. to ban soda and other sugary drinks from kids' menus. Restaurants can now only offer kids water, milk, and 100% fruit juice. But parents can still order soda for their kids if they choose. And an iconic piece of American real estate is up for grabs for the first time in nearly half a century. The Brady Bunch House is for sale. The Los Angeles area home was only used for exteriors on the series. The interiors were filmed on a soundstage. And for decades ever since, carloads and busloads of fans have made their stop to take their picture outside. And if you've got about $1.8 million handy, it could be yours. When we come back, the ballerina hitting the streets, inspiring girls to dance to their own beat. Our spotlight is next. Finally tonight, she's a world-class ballerina who rose to the greatest heights but never forgot where she came from. Now she's reaching out to girls in neighborhoods like the one where she grew up, inspiring them to follow their dreams. Her story tonight in our spotlight. Amid the gritty streets of Oakland, California, an eye-catching beauty, a ballerina.
Can you guys say tondu?
Tondu!
Young girls in awe.
I want to be a ballerina when I grow up.
I want to be a ballerina too.
Can you show me pirouette? Can you pirouette?
Aisha Ash was a professional ballerina for 13 years, a world back then dominated by white dancers. Yet she joined the prestigious New York City Ballet at age 18.
That was very challenging. It was very isolating. It was very lonely.
After she retired, she wanted to help others break barriers. So she started the Swan Dreams Project, teaching and sharing photographs of her dancing through inner city neighborhoods.
My dreamer inside of me was just to replace those images that I remembered in my childhood of, like, you know, the girls in the bikinis on the motorbike, you know, holding a 40 ounce of beer. So this is our second position.
She followed her dreams, which is very inspiring that you can accomplish anything if you believe in yourself.
They can all be swans. You know, beauty and grace are not defined by status or race. They are boundless and endless, and swan dreams are certainly for everyone. And no matter what you dream, you're gonna work hard to make it come true, right?
Yeah!
A ballerina teaching others to hold their heads high no matter where they come from. A great way to engage kids. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.